And I'm sure if you were a little boy or girl, that would have been sent to me when I was growing up, you probably needed a mean mother to keep you out of trouble. Genesis 3 and verse 20. After the fall of man, it tells us that Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. We all are descendants, every one of us, descendants of this couple. This is our foremother. She's the mother of all living, all who have been or will be. Her name literally means living. She's the first woman, think about it, she's the first woman to ever give birth. Do you think she knew what she was to expect? Do you think that maybe she had some fears associated with those things? She's the first mother to suffer the loss of a child. And I can tell you from personal experience, that's a difficult thing to deal with. Did she know how important she would be to the entire world? We only know the names of three of her children, Cain, Abel, and Seth. Genesis 5 and 4 tells us that she had many sons and daughters in her lifetime. In fact, since the time of Eve, it has been the responsibility of mothers to raise their children for the Lord. Our mothers bring us into the world. They nurture us. They provide for us. They raise us up. They teach us. They discipline us. You see, mothers have this remarkable ability to change the world through their children. I remember a saying that from years ago, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. It is still true today. I want to examine with you for a few minutes this morning some of the Bible's exceptional mothers. The first one is found in Exodus 2 and verses 1 through 4. Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Do you realize that Moses' mother took great risks to protect her child? They're in the land of Egypt. It's almost time for them to leave. And the leader who's going to bring them out of Egypt is now born to Jochebed. She has the responsibility of protecting him from the king's edict, which was that every male boy was to be destroyed because the Israelites were becoming too powerful, too strong, too numerous for the Egyptians to be able to control them. Well, you see, what Pharaoh wanted was a zero birth rate among them. I'm afraid that's a lot like a lot of people today that want a zero birth rate. And so they abort child after child. That's not the kind of mother that Jochebed was. See, this was Pharaoh's idea of controlling the Israelite population. We've got plenty of individuals who think they need to control our world's population. I think it'll take care of itself because God's still in control. You see, the problem, though, that Pharaoh had is that they had midwives that would deliver these children, and the midwives were commanded not to allow these boys to live, but apparently they had enough respect for God that they did not obey Pharaoh, and so those those sons were allowed to live. Jochebed did not obey Pharaoh as well. She protected her child. She put him in a basket when the time came that she could no longer keep him hidden. And so in this situation, she puts this child now out of her hands into God's hands. She could no longer hide him for fear that death would come to him and come to this son. And so she places him in this basket that is pitched inside and out, puts him in the Nile, and has his sister watch him and see what will happen. And what do you know? Pharaoh's own daughter comes down to the Nile to take a bath and finds this child and decides to raise this child as her own. In chapter 2 and verses 7 and through 9, it says that his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "I shall go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you." And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. You see, mothers have this way of protecting us, so many ways of protecting us. They protect us from physical danger. How many mothers have not told their children, "Look both ways when you cross the street. Don't touch that hot pan or don't touch that hot stove. You'll get burnt." Mothers protect us from all kinds of physical dangers. They protect us morally by teaching us right from wrong. Many times they have also protected us emotionally by keeping us from knowing things that would harm us emotionally. Mothers have also protected our spirits and brought us up to love and to serve the Lord God. I don't think there was a more supportive mother than Hannah. In 1 Samuel 1 and verses 24 through 28, we read that, in fact, let's just get some background on this. Hannah is barren. Her husband has two wives, and the other wife has had children and is mocking Hannah often and making Hannah's life miserable. And so she prays to God to give her a son. In fact, she kind of makes a deal with God. "If you will give me a son, I'll give him back to you at the right time." And so there in verse 24 of chapter 1, it says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephod of flour and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, 'O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord,' and he worshiped the Lord God there." Now, I think about this deal that she struck with God. "You give me a son and I'll give him back to you." Samuel was taken to the Lord's house here, we see, when he was of an appropriate age, and he was left there with the priest to become a servant of the Lord, and she continued to support him in the Lord's work. She didn't forget him there. Every year she brought provisions to him there in that work. I think there are three things that we should learn from Hannah. God answers prayer, even prayers concerning children. And we should give our children to the Lord to use them as He sees fit. I emphasize that because often we want them to serve Him the way we see fit. We need to allow God to use them where He needs them. We should support our children in doing the Lord's work. We need to give. In fact, one of the things that I remember in raising our children, that one of the things that we would often do, especially in the winter, well, sometimes in the winter, sometimes in the summer. In the winter, we would insist that the boys go to the neighbors, and especially if they were older couples, and insist that they shovel the snow off the drives and off the sidewalks and not receive any pay. Just do it because you want to do it. Well, because Mom and Dad said to. And in the summer, we would have them mow yards for the same reason. And I think that those are things that helps them to learn to give. In fact, even today, as we are offering our giving, making our contribution to the Lord's work, is a good time to instruct children in giving back to God. Not only by seeing you do it, but in them and the things that they've received from God in returning some of that to them and helping others and those kind of things. There's a mother that I'm reminded of who was very instructive to her son. That's Eunice in 2 Timothy 1 and verses 1 through 5. Paul, in that passage in his letter to Timothy, says in verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt in your mother, first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Think about it. Timothy was a young man who was a close associate with the Apostle Paul. In fact, I think probably one of his chief associates in all of his missionary journeys. Paul relied on Timothy in those journeys. He sent him to do certain things for him at different times. Timothy joined Paul on his first journey in Acts the 16th chapter. After he visited Lystra, he sees him being a faithful friend even in Paul's imprisonment in Rome. He mentions him in Colossians 1 and Philippians 1 and Philemon. Timothy, along with his mother and grandmother, were Jewish believers who heard about Christ and accepted Him and were obedient to Him. The faith that was in Timothy was first in his grandmother and in his mother. I think they were examples of faith to him. They taught him the Scriptures. Notice there in Acts 16 and verse 3, Paul wanted Timothy to come to him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in these places or in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. She didn't allow the fact that her husband was not an obedient father to the Lord to deter her teaching her son the Lord's ways. You see, mothers and grandmothers have a responsibility to instill in their children's and grandchildren's hearts the word of the Lord. One of the things that I remember from my childhood, especially in Bible class, because I was in my grandmother's Bible class, I remember those passages that she instructed me to memorize. Those are some that stick with me more than any others, because she instilled those things in me at that time in my life. She's the one that I remember going down to visit her and found her sitting on her couch reading her Bible. That's the kind of lady she was. They're the ones who we should hear about God for first. Teaching them songs about Jesus and about God. They should be singing about Jesus before they can sing about there's the Dog Patrol and some of those It used to be Barney, but I'm not sure where Barney is anymore. He probably went extinct. We need to teach them about Jesus, or they need to teach them about Jesus. Teach them, or take them to church. I remember individuals who would drop their children off. One of the last congregations I was working with, we had some ladies who would drop the children off and go home. And we watched their children and taught them Bible class and stuff. No, don't drop them off. Take them. You need God just as much as your children need Him. Share their Bible class lessons with them. One of the things I think is important, and mothers do this quite well, is talk to their children about the Bible lessons, not only on Sunday afternoon when you get home from worship services, but through the week. I remember a lot of young people who did not have their Bible lessons done when they came to Bible class. I'm afraid that was a failing of some mothers. You see, mothers and grandmothers, your role in teaching your children goes beyond any material value. I think it's important for us to realize that you're preparing them for eternity, because it's going to come eventually. And then there's loyalty. I can't think of another woman who was more loyal to her child than Mary, the mother of Jesus. In John 19 and in verse 25, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother. And it goes on and mentions others. His mother was loyal to her son even at the point of death. You see, mothers have this wonderful ability that no matter what children do, no matter what they go through, they are loyal to their children. They're there for their children. I remember when Tony had appendicitis. It was a severe case of appendicitis because he had had problems for 2 days, I think, or at least maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days. And so his mother and I drove from Robinson, Illinois to midway through Indiana to meet his brother and him, to pick up the motorcycle he had ridden over there and him and bring him home so his mother could take care of him. That was on Saturday night. We got up the next morning and he's pretty miserable. And I looked at her and I said, I think you need to take him to the hospital. And that's what she did. And she spent the next week in the hospital at Robinson. And then they transferred him to Danville, Illinois. Danville, Illinois, I think. Been a while. And she spent a week there with him in the hospital. They didn't think, the doctor in Robinson sent him to Danville because they didn't think he's going to survive. He said, after Tony was better and he'd seen the doctor again, he said, I didn't think he was going to make it. That's how serious it was. They couldn't find his appendix. It was that deteriorated. He suffered quite a bit with it. But his mother was there for him all of that time because she was loyal to her child. She cared about her child. Mothers have this wonderful ability that no matter what's going on, to drop everything and to take care of that child. You see, think about it. Mary, all of Jerusalem has turned against her son. They called for his death, and now they have him nailed to a cross to die. And she's there for him. You see, mothers don't give up This does not mean that they condone or approve of your sins. Many of us have moms that could have given up on us, but they hung in there and they were loyal to us. They were dedicated to us and got us through some of those stupid decisions we made. I believe in the love that Mary gave to her son, which caused her to follow him in his ministry and to stand by him in his, at his cross and his death. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of children. Children need the love of a mother. It's stronger than steel and it's softer than down and it's resilient. I have a hard time comprehending a woman holding a sign proudly saying, I have had 30 abortions. That's not a mother. That's a murderer. Mothers love their children. Mothers give everything for their children. I don't remember. I think Mel made a comment here recently, and it just comes to my mind now about mothers. And now I'm losing it already. But how can a mother give birth to this child and turn around 6 months, a year later, want another child? If it was me, one and done, or one, none, that's what fathers are like. But mothers have such a deep love. I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this love, this great love flow through her to her children. By doing so, they become a blessing to the world, and her tenderness and her touch of joy brings those things to the world. To those moms who have protected us, supported us, instructed us, and who have been loyal to us, we should be saying thank you, not just once a year, but every day of our lives. To those young mothers who may be here today, protect your kids. Support them. Teach them the Lord's way. And be loyal to them in everything possible. There's no greater love or lesson you could give to your children than to make sure that they are instructed in the Lord's way. If you're not a child of God, you can't do that. Not appropriately. And so this morning, if you are not a Christian, we would encourage you to become one so that you can not only instruct your children in the way of the Lord, but you can show them His way. Is your life what it should be? If it's not, now is the time to change that, to correct it, and to make your life right with God. We have no clue, no idea when this life is going to come to an end, but we do know that it certainly will. Peter says that it's appointed the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. We are going to die. And we are going to stand in judgment before God. Will you be ready? Will you be prepared? If you're not, won't you do that as we stand and say,